Coming up on podcast 1355, after the earnings call yesterday, Tesla's roadmap prioritizes the Model Y at the expense of others. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the show today, which EV was the best-selling in Europe last year? Rivian ramping up production of the R1T, that is the truck, and the Ford e-Transit, all new and going into production for the first time today. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. It's EV News Daily, Thursday, 27th of Jan edition. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story. And I do it so you don't have to. And thank you very much to not one, but two Patreon members increasing their support. That blows my mind, you know. Robert and Asir. Robert Grace and Asir Khalid, both executive producers at the moment, but choosing to set their own custom rates. I mean, lots of people do not just settle for the $5 or $10 or $50 tiers to put the show on the air. They pay a bit more, put their own rates. That's what Robert and Asir have done. I can't get over that. It's amazing. Thank you so much. You can check out Patreon as well. You don't have to. No pressure at all. patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Reminders to existing patrons. You get billed in a couple of days' time at the first of the month. Now we'll start with the earnings call yesterday from Tesla. Late last night, my time at least, reporting quarterly profit and sales above expectations, but why was the share price down? Well, it turns out investors got spooked by their factories running below capacity because of supply chain issues. On the quarter, sales were up 17.7 billion on the quarter. That's up from 10.7 billion same quarter last year. Elon Musk assuring investors that despite all the challenges they face, he said they will comfortably grow above 50%. In 2022 from last year, which I guess, you know, we don't get to see in that boardroom, but probably had raised eyebrows from his colleagues because the actual investor letter certainly doesn't say they will grow comfortably above 50%. That could be an expectation from the boss that he's given to them and it slipped out on the call. We'll wait and see. In a letter, Tesla said their factories have been running below capacity for several quarters as supply chains became the main limiting factor, which will continue through 2022. That's what the investors didn't seem to like. Well, we've got some stuff to get into. We'll have a look at the full year profit. It's really amazing for Tesla. Full year profit, $5.5 billion. That is up from $721 million at the end of 2020. And sales over the year, so if you look at the whole 12 months, sales going up 71% to $53.8 billion. And there's $2.8 billion in free cash flow in the last quarter alone. Debt down to $1.4 billion. And Tesla reporting that their guidance, official guidance, around 50%. Despite this, the supply chain challenges, they have managed to move forward with their own battery cells, known as the 4680 or the baked bean tin cells. These are their own form factor, much bigger than the cylindrical cells found in the Model 3 and the Model Y, and their own design as well. Of course, others will make them. Panasonic will make them for them as of next year. Tesla have their pilot line running on the West Coast, and they're just waiting, I think, from what I can gather, the yield, the quality of those cells to be good enough to put into production. They won't be using them in things like storage, because storage will be using the lower density cobalt-free lithium iron phosphate batteries from CATL in China. So these batteries that Tesla are making will go into things like Cybertruck and Semi-truck and Model Y. We'll get onto that in a moment. And the profits would have been higher if it wasn't for a $340 million hit from payroll taxes because of Mr. Musk's compensation package. And they got some warranty stuff and raw material price rises to factor in there, which is why they weren't quite as profitable. Hey, I mentioned Model Y. Let's get on to that. It's important. Austin Gigafactory, the one they're building in Travis County. And they say, and I quote, builds of Model Ys started in late 2021 at Gigafactory Texas after final certification of Austin-made Model Y. We plan to start deliveries to customers. The pace of production ramps in Austin and Berlin will be influenced by the successful introduction of many new product and manufacturing technologies in new locations, ongoing supply chain related challenges, and regional permitting. We are making progress on the industrialization of Cybertruck, which is currently planned for Austin production subsequent to Model Y. That was the note to investors. So the Model Y will come out of Austin with those 4680 cells and a structural battery pack. So the very first car that they build with their own batteries will be the Model Y Texas made. And if you were thinking, but hang on, the Berlin factory was started before Texas, you'd be absolutely right. But the batteries are being made in the US on the pilot line. And so in Berlin, they're still going to build the cell factory, but they will start those Model Ys coming out in Germany with the existing 2170 cells. That wasn't news, by the way. I've been talking about that for, you know, 6 months plus on this podcast, but always interesting to hear it's reiterated. Equipment testing through the vehicle production process started in late 2021. They say in Berlin, we are still in the process of finalizing the manufacturing permit from local authorities, which will allow us to start delivering German-made vehicles in Europe using the 2170 cells. There's no guarantee, though, that that regulatory process will not be extended further. And so who knows when that facility will come online. But now we know more about the Model Y coming out of there. But what about the much anticipated Cybertruck? Over the last few days, there'd been some so-called leaked photos, videos, shots of Elon Musk driving around the facility in one. So we know there's one that works. And Elon Musk revealing to reservation holders of the Cybertruck and the Roadster and the Semi, they're not coming this year. Now, I heard that and I wondered if he was sandbagging a little bit, like no new cars this year. And then in a few months' time, oh, by the way, here's Cybertruck. Remember how they did with Model Y when they were ramping? Oh, by the way, we've made some. Here's customer delivery. So I wonder whether he was sandbagging a bit and they will do it, because it just, look, it's inconceivable that that Cybertruck was revealed in, well, it was meant to be out last year in 2021. And then it got pushed to 2022 and it would go to 2023. Well, that seems crazy. And then the semi-truck, think about how many years ago that was unveiled. The Roadster came out the back of it. That was going to come out the next year after it. And there's no sign of that Roadster. They are not working, publicly admitting to working on the Roadster. Now, they might be, I don't know, thinking in the shower about ideas and stuff like that. But in terms of what they were officially declaring, no chance of any of those vehicles arriving this year. He also had something to say about the $25,000 car. As you will remember, if you've been following the news for a while, at Battery Day, they had a slide on screen where they announced the $25,000 model something, you know. It didn't have a name. Much like they originally announced the Model 3 at $35,000, they did sell that. They did fulfill their promise, a version of it at least for a limited time, very briefly. But they did say they can have a path to the $25,000 car. Now, Elon Musk was asked about that by the institutional investors, and he really didn't want to talk about product or roadmap, which was the kind of the point of him being on the call, we were led to believe, was product roadmap, how it's going to be playing out over the next however long. He simply said, no, there's no chance of a $25,000 car. There's too much on their plate. They can't get production started on vehicles they announced years ago. Crazy to work on a car that would have a smaller profit margin. So no, there is no $25,000 car from them. And again, maybe work goes on informally, sketches. Maybe it's on internal roadmap presentations, but publicly, complete denial. And again, I think that's got investors really worried, because as I'm recording this podcast, Tesla down 11% today. That's just, I mean, I don't think the earnings call was that bad. Elon's performance was, not his performance so much, but he seemed frustrated and tetchy, and it seemed like they're kind of all giggling, and some people interpreted that as they were just like high and, you know, happy, as in not high, but they were happy high. Others interpreted that as they just weren't taking it seriously. They just didn't want to give a clear guidance of what's coming and when. Cybertruck delayed, hopefully 2023, they said. And that's the word. That's the word I'm quoting. Hopefully 2023. I mean, that's crazy to think that the Cybertruck, I mean, fine, cancel the $25,000 car, bring it out in, you know, 2, 3, 5 years time, whenever. But the Cybertruck should have been out last year, at the worst this year. And then to say, well, hopefully 2023, that's why I think it was too sus. It was too pessimistic. I didn't buy it. But hey, I mean, maybe he was being honest there. I don't know. I think they're going to come out with it sooner than they led us to believe. What about other bits of the business that I find interesting? Oh, the solar business continued to, well, let's say tread water. It had an awful time 2 years ago. Last four quarters, though, have been pretty much exactly the same. No progress, but no deterioration in the amount of sales that they are doing, which for the state of, or the area in which South Buffalo, where the facility is, according to the local news site, buffalonews.com, they said they're selling so few solar roofs that when you install a few more, that leads to a high percentage increase, which always looks good on a presentation. You know, an 80% increase. Well, you're starting with a very low base. Elon Musk also confident of full self-driving. This is where it gets a little, you know, for me, silly. Long-term listeners know my thoughts on full self-driving. Elon Musk, all he wanted to talk about was autonomy, robo-taxis, how vehicles are going to be worth so much money when they're working for a living. He said, Elon Musk said, people do not yet understand how valuable an autonomous vehicle will be. He seemed grouchy and frustrated at the time. Well, I would say to you, Mr. Musk, yes, maybe we do understand the value of what an autonomous vehicle would be without having to have a driver in it. Maybe we do understand that. Maybe we are just wise to when you say, oh, full self-driving, yeah, that'll be done this year. Like you said, ooh, every single year. Hey, FSD will come out when it comes out. And actually, I say when it comes out. It's out, of course. It is in the market. There is a version of what they call full self-driving. And it could be that they stopped there and therefore they achieved it, right? They could develop it no more and say, hey, we're done. They probably won't because they want to achieve this kind of robo-taxi level of autonomy, which 1,000% will not be done this year. I mean, there's so many YouTube videos out there of this thing performing amazingly. Just, it seems sci-fi when it drives itself and it does it well. And then other times it'll want to drive itself into a wall or kill little old ladies crossing the road. So it's a long way from being ready. He wanted to talk about the humanoid robot as well, which I don't, because he was saying it's going to be bigger than their car business, or the potential to be bigger than their automotive business. They could have a humanoid robot working in their factories to move parts around. Yes. If only Amazon and every other car maker in the world had thought about using robots to move things around factories. I bet they are. Amazon's kicking themselves today. Oh, we could have used robots. Oh, hang on, we have done for the last 10 years. It's weird. I think that humanoid robot, in the nicest possible way, is only there for the Tesla fanboys to gather round Elon and, you know, do what they do and have their little wet dreams about Mr. Musk. The robot thing just frustrates me about how much attention it is given. It's nonsense. It's got nothing to do with the amazing cars they build. And it's a distraction, frankly. And it makes them look stupid and silly. But I don't know. He knows what he's doing. He can pump people up. Let's talk about an amazing piece of solid news rather than robots around the corner. A solid piece of news is the Model 3 topping the European sales charts. The best-selling EV in Europe last year for the entire year of 2021. And the Model 3 beat off the Renault Zoe from the top spot. Also overtaking cars like the Tiguan, Peugeot 3008. It was actually 17th in the overall list. And of course, back in September, if you remember, I did tell you the Model 3 was the first full electric car ever to top the monthly European sales numbers. For the month, I must admit, it's for the month. Even outperformed the Golf, etc. Now, the Golf is still number one overall across a year. Hyundai and Kia are also increasing their market share in Europe with their electric models. I'll pop a link to Auto News in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Right, stick around. I'm going to tell you about how Rivian are ramping up and the start of production for the all-new Transit cargo van. Stick around. Those stories are on the way. Now, though, we'll talk about something that I kind of missed, actually, a couple of days ago, talking about the $7 billion investment in Michigan for EV and battery production that General Motors announced. The factory, the Orion Township facility, being retooled from 2024 to make the Chevy Silverado and the GMC Sierra. And what CNET had picked up, and I hadn't, was, of course, the Orion Township facility is where the Bolt EV is built at the moment, and then they spend $4 billion on it at the mothership and transform it to make the Ultium battery-based cars. Where does it leave the Bolt? Probably nowhere. So maybe that is the first sign of the end of the Bolt, which would be a real shame, actually, because the Volt now can discontinued, and the Bolt. I've been cracking cars for various reasons. I don't think I've always got the credit that they probably did deserve. Actually, now I think about it, doesn't use their Ultium technology, their partnership with LG. It uses the old BEV2 platform that goes back to, has ties to the Chevy Spark. So time to move on. I hadn't made that connection, but yes, they talked about refurbing that factory, and at no point did they say it'll carry on making the Bolt. Now, Rivian are ramping up production after a week-long pause. They had been making 50 units a week up to the end of December. But after shutting down the factory, they are now going to reopen, and they want to aim for 200 units per week of the R1T. That's the truck. R1S, I think, is still facing some challenges. I think they've hand-built a couple and gone to management, but the R1T is what they will make, 200 a week. The capacity at the normal Illinois facility is 200,000 a year, so such a hard job to scale that. Now we'll talk Ford and their CEO, Jim Farley, talking about their investment on Fox Business with Grady Trimble. Ford has committed more than $30 billion to EVs by 2030, and it recently announced it'll build two electric truck and battery plants in Kentucky and one in Tennessee. "I think we are one of the first to scale," he said. "We are committed to 600,000 units in 22 months. That'll be the end of 2023 then. So what you're saying is we'll start 2024. He says, "We are committed to 600,000 units. Is that annual production capacity? Is that saying we are committed to getting to 600,000 capacity annually by the beginning of 24, or that we'll have made 600,000 EVs? I don't know. It wasn't clear. Quite different things, obviously. So it'd be good to know which one it was. But he also spoke to Fox from Dutton Ranch. That's a vineyard in California's wine region that's been using the new e-transits. While the company announced that Walmart had ordered 1,000 of the new e-transits, he said that they'd also be looking to work with small businesses and sole traders, plumbers, electricians, how to move to electric vans. And that leads me on to talking about how Ford started production of the electric e-transit cargo van at their factory. It's in Kansas City in Missouri, and the first deliveries will be in the next few weeks as well. Ford Pro is their fleet, even if it's a fleet of one, I guess. Services, charging, maintenance, fleet management, telematics, software, all under the banner of Ford Pro. So they're aiming there to tap into that market. Certainly a few people, companies, will be unsure about going to EV, and Ford doing all they can to hold the hand and say, well, look, this is how it's going to work, charging and etc., how you'll use that vehicle. Now we'll go to China, and they're expected to see continued growth in the new energy vehicle market with sales, they say, in 2022. They're expecting, how many do you reckon? 5 million EVs sold in China in 2022. The world's biggest auto market says that after the 5 million units sold this year, that's what they think is achievable. It will put them ahead of the goal to raise electric cars to 20% of the total sales volume by 2025. And it's going so well there, it's one of the reasons why they are phasing out the EV incentives in China. Some big investment happening as well. Chinese tech company Baidu and the carmaker Geely are putting money into their electric joint car venture. It's called Jidu, and they're partnering about a year ago to put this new joint venture together. They're adding in $400 million in a Series A financing round, and the capital injection comes after it was launched last March. they will unveil their first EV, a Level 4 compatible. So that is proper autonomy at the auto show in Beijing. That's set for April. Now from China to India and Ola Electric. That is their electric scooter manufacturing. And they make all sorts of EVs, actually. But announcing £100 million being spent here in the UK on the Future Foundry. It's going to be Ola's global centre for advanced engineering and vehicle design. It's going to be based in the beautiful, beautiful place that is Coventry in the middle of the country. And it's going to be a global hub for design and engineering talent, they say. So whilst that work will be done in the UK, the actual construction and assembly done in India, I guess much cheaper labour. Ola investing £100 million over the next 5 years into this state-of-the-art centre to employ over 200 designers and automotive engineers. And final story today. Orders have opened up for the new Range Rover PHEV, the plug-in hybrid of the new Range Rover, fifth generation. You can order it from today if you are so inclined. Let's have a look at the specs then. What do you reckon? Well, it has got 70 miles of EV range. So, look, as long as these owners charge it every night, as long as they run it on electricity, I mean, I guess it's not so bad. It's still got a massive engine up front, and it's still, you know, plug-in hybrids are kind of still the worst of both worlds because you have to have both systems carried around. So if you're running on electric, you're still carrying your engine. And if the engine's on, then you've got all those batteries that are really heavy. But either way, I can see how this would work. 50 kilowatt charging is, you know, fast enough. So that means DC fast charging. That means plug-in hybrids plugging into what limited DC fast charging we've got, you know, argue that amongst yourselves. Not sure about that's a good idea. 38 kilowatt hour battery, 105 kilowatt motor, and it starts for the very basic model, your bog standard one, at £104,000. And that's for the short wheelbase. You know, you go upwards from there to infinity and beyond. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. So my friend Tom Malogny's Lucid Air range test at 70 miles an hour yielded a real-world highway range of 500 miles. It raises the bar by a huge amount on the next competitive electric car, and it easily makes Lucid Air the longest-range EV ever tested. But do EVs ever need 500 miles? That's my question to you. You can email me your answer. I had a such, compared to last week, which was quiet on EV advertising, this week has been so busy. Hello at evnewsdaily.com is my email address. Check out the new YouTube show that comes out earlier in the day that is EV News Briefly. A quick look at the rundown of the news as I'm writing the big podcast, the usual one. Check out my YouTube channel. Just search EV News Daily. Thanks to our premium partners, Phil Roberts. He runs Electric Future. It's EF.energy. Check it out. Brad Crosby. Thank you, sir. Hi to Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati. Audi of Cincinnati East. Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging. They're on the US mainland. And their sister company, Aloha Charge, they're in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel. And he is doing absolutely amazing things on his channel. It's so good to see it grow. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Got some big news soon about an event that he's having that you are welcome to come to. And emobilitynorway.com. Have a good night. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.